Raiders Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
First of all, I'm very, very thankful. And it's an honor. It's probably my proudest moment of my life. It means a lot to me. It's a big responsibility, but I'm ready for it, and I'm super excited. And to do it with the team we have right now and where we're going is, I feel like I can be a part of something big.
That is Rasmus Dahlin, the new captain of the Buffalo Sabres. Welcome into Sabres Live on MSG and WGR 550. I'm Marty Baron alongside Dan Dunleavy. Duffer's got the day off. This is a bit of a doubleheader for us, Dan, because we're doing this 12-1.
Yep.
We're taking a little bit of a pregame nap from 1 to 2:30.
And then, are we taking a nap?
Or are we going to get
might
lunch
not wake
or something?
Up if we take a nap.
And then 2:30 on MSG and on the Bet 1520 is Sabres at Red Bull Munich in Germany. And that's the last preseason game for the group. So we'll have a bit of a pregame show at 12:30 here. But first off, Rasmus Dahlin, technically the 28th captain in Sabres history, but we know that for, you know, a few years they rotated captains, so guys were captain for a month or whatever. So I don't know that it reflects 28 really real captains, but still, technically the 28th captain in Sabres history. What'd you think of his press availability and the way it was announced to him with Lindy giving him the jersey and everybody being in that like room restaurant or something?
Yeah, well, I think obviously it was, you know, well thought out in that way, just to really respect what the captaincy means. Mm-hmm. And I think not just to the team and to the fans in Buffalo, but I think you had a pretty good sense the day that Rasmus Dahlin walked into KeyBank Center when he was drafted and became a Buffalo Sabre. At least I did. I remember from day one, I thought, there's something special here. You weren't sure where it was going to go. You heard all the hype. But I'm not surprised that it's come to this point. I think when you had early glances at how much he cared about taking this team to another level, about being a leader on this team, and I really mean from day one. I mean, he came in here with just this attitude that, look, it's hockey. I'm here to play and do my best and represent the city. And he loved the fact that he was here. And I thought, you know, and then as we get to know him, you're thinking this guy is 100% captain material. So not surprised. Very proud of him, too. You know him from a young age, obviously, when we watch him grow up, these guys at this stage. So congratulations to Rasmus, and really good for the team, I think.
He's a young captain, but he's been experienced enough in the National Hockey League, has gone to the All-Star game, has lived through some personal highs and then some lows. You know, he's had to deal with some injuries. I think the maturity level is what has impressed me over the last probably year. Look, when last year Kalaposo came back, he was the Sabres captain, we all kind of had the idea that that was going to be Kyle's last season. And then he gets traded to Florida at the trade deadline, goes on to win a Stanley Cup. But I felt like Rasmus Dahlin really stepped up in the leadership and maturity level last year, knowing that in a few months, there won't be a captain, and they will need to be somebody that's going to step up and be the leader. His girlfriend did that too. Like, she was involved with charity events and with you know, some of the things that the Sabre significant others are doing. And I thought that was, for me, a really good sign of seeing where Rasmus wanted to go.
Yeah.
And obviously, you never know until it gets announced. Yes, I blew it, Dan. I absolutely blew it. Yesterday morning, I added one of my notes for the show. When are the Sabres going to announce the captain? And I would think it's going to be Rasmus Dahlin. But we had Darren Dreger on the show. We had Shayna Goldman on the show. So I didn't mention it during the show.
Right.
Like, I'm like, we'll talk about it maybe tomorrow with Dan and Razor, and we'll talk about it next week. Well, sure enough, about an hour after our show ended, there was the announcement. So I probably could have started the talk around town.
I just see you blew it because you wanted to break the news? Is that what you're saying?
No, I blew it because I wanted to actually like talk about it before it happened, saying, hey, listen, who do you want as captain, whatever. But I was thinking maybe I'll have a little bit more time and, you know, to talk about it today. I didn't think or didn't know. I had no inclination that it was going to happen yesterday before today's game. And so, I should have stuck to my first instinct and said, hey, that's
always
a priority.
Always. Go with your gut, Marty.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I blew it.
First thing yesterday when Razor and I were sitting in Ottawa or Kanata, Ontario.
Kanata.
Which he reminded
not
me
Canada,
last night. Kanata. Yes, not Canada, Kanata. Which, by the way, every time you go back to Kanata, there's about 100 new buildings built around the rink that they're no longer going to play in
a few
years.
And they're going to move,
yes. Which is interesting. So great for the people of Kanata, though. A couple of things I want to play off of, just because we just played the clip on MSG. When I saw, because I hadn't seen the announcement yet, because we were traveling, narrated by Josh Allen, and I thought, whoa, I need to hear this.
Yes.
So, first of all, whoever within the connecting group of, you know, content,
Sabres, yep.
Great on you, great on Josh, because I think I think the two of them would have a synergy in how they want to represent their teams in this city, right?
Yep.
Which is really cool.
Which, by the way, that picture of Josh we're seeing on MSG, what an amazing crew neck. Like, I know we've been wearing some of the
I thought it was
Sabre
a bandit
stuff,
shirt, first of all.
But it's being sold at the team store. I think they're probably like going to be all out by the end of the week just because of the publicity. But that's an amazing goat head crew neck that Josh Allen was
wearing. I didn't get called to show off that sweater. Did you?
No. We're not models. Josh Allen is a model.
Josh can get everything now. That's fine. That's fine. Razor didn't even get called.
But the fact that Josh was narrating like
I
from
thought
one
that was
captain
awesome.
To another.
Yeah. A great little kind of not passing the torch, but yeah, you're part of the club now. Let's go.
Yeah, no.
And the Bills knew that. They've met Rasmus, right? Years ago. They've all connected already.
Hawkins has met Rasmus at the All-Star game.
And they get along very well. Yeah, whatever that means. I'm not cool enough. You mentioned Rasmus Dahlin going through highs and lows. The lows to me matter.
Yeah.
Because all of us, no matter what you do, if it's just seemingly coming too easy for you, which it can for very talented hockey players, right? And obviously at some point in all these guys' careers, it comes really easy for them. And then all of a sudden, it should get tougher to the point where you feel challenged and it brings out even another level of your play. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I read your tweet today saying that you expect a big year from Rasmus too. And I feel the same way in that he doesn't have to push his game to any different level.
No.
I think, and it's very similar to Josh Allen, if I can tie the two together, I always said about Josh, don't be in a hurry to win. You are so good, you can win just on what you can do. Mm-hmm. You don't need to prove you can need to do any more. So you got 4 quarters to win the game. Take your time getting there and just keep taking chunks out of teams. Nope. So he's doing that now. I feel the same for Rasmus, is that the home run play doesn't have to happen every time he's got the puck on his stick. And I feel sometimes younger players feel that that's what they have to do.
Well,
but now he's kind of understanding, especially with what's been built around him, that I've got a lot to work with here. And if it doesn't happen for me on this shift, Byram comes out next shift, or Owen Power has the puck on his stick. So it's not – he can be the captain of a complete team of really talented players and lead them with his tenacity and the character that he's built from experiencing those lows, because it wasn't fun for him. You mentioned a couple of those lows, whether it be, you know, a turnover at the blue line, and he knows he's the last man back.
Broken stick on the top of the net. Like,
I can't even imagine. Yeah, I can't even imagine how that feels when you're the last guy back in the NHL and you're at the blue line expected to make a brilliant play and oops, it hops over your stick and you're down and he's going the other way. You're thinking, this is
please
not
make a
good.
Save. Please make a save. Please
this is
make
not
a save.
Good. So, but the great thing about Rasmus is he's found a way to deal with that, to go through the part that says, this sucks, I hate this, how do I deal with it? And Rob and I have talked with him on the road privately a few times. You know, Razor has that player-to-player connection, and I think the players really enjoy that because there's an understanding sometimes in our chats where Rasmus thinks so much about his teammates.
Yes.
That sometimes, and I remember, I think Rob might have said to him, hey, like, you're the guy they should worry about just making sure they're there for you because you are a stud. Mm-hmm. But he has so much concern for his teammates being involved, bringing the best out of them.
Yeah.
He feels that he's in charge of that. So, you know, that's part of a captain too. And I think that's something he'll learn to balance as he continues.
You know, what's interesting is that in my career, I had like Michael Pekka as a captain.
Yeah.
That's Stu Barnes as a captain. I had Danny Briere, Chris Drury as captains, co-captains.
Yeah.
And then when I got to Philly, Jason Smith, the old Gator, was captain, the old Edmonton Oiler, and then he came over. And he was only in Philly for 1 year, and he was the captain for 1 year. And then when he left after my first year in Philly, it transitioned to Mike Richards, who was a young captain but was the Bobby Clark in training, right?
Yeah.
And it was, and I remember it was hard for Richie the first few games. We didn't start the season well, and he took it to heart. He took it personally. But I feel like Richie didn't have the the resume that Dowling has, right? Dowling, a first overall pick.
Yeah, his was still a junior and world junior championship resume, yeah.
Philadelphia Phantoms, yep. AHL, yep. And he had played a couple of years, but it was kind of given to him pretty early. Mm-hmm. I feel like Rasmus Dahlin has earned that. Like,
oh,
he's
100%.
Earned that, yes. Captaincy now. And that's the difference, right? That's the difference between giving it to a young player. Like Steve Yzerman in Detroit, they knew he was going to be the captain.
Right.
He was one of the youngest captain in the history of the
National. You talk about highs and lows. Look what he went through.
Oh, it's some really bad years in Detroit.
Oh, my gosh. And they wanted him out of there at one point. And
yeah,
then, you know,
absolutely. Yeah. That was hard. But, yeah. You know, from today, like Rasmus Dahlin, first game as captain, his jersey's hanging in the locker room in Munich. And it's a beautiful thing. Like, look, that sweater, the Buffalo, the blue and gold, is always going to be, you know, pretty close to my heart. I was drafted in that jersey,
right.
Played my first NHL game in that jersey. It's special. I know everybody's loving the goat head black and red retro, but having the captaincy now, the C on his jersey, I think that's really
cool.
No,
you're right. Just soak it in. Just look at it. For those on radio, it is the blue and gold.
Close
and
your
it,
eyes.
You just soak
it's
it
the
in.
The white jersey.
The depth of the colors and the stitching and everything else. But the other thing that's really, you mentioned a one-year captain, and Jason, I'm sure, did a great job.
He was fantastic. Like Kalaposo did for a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple
right?
of years.
Like,
and then
good.
Another surprise one for me, but I actually spoke with Radko Gudas on the road last year mm-hmm. a little bit. I actually wanted to compliment him on how he kind of is always so tenacious in his game and
yep.
almost doesn't care what people think about him.
They don't like him here, but that's okay.
No, but I'm saying, and that's what I said to him, I get that people don't like you around the league, but you're still being you,
yep.
which is what anyone who's signed to a contract, any general manager said, look, you be you. We'll worry about kind of what we should and shouldn't do on the way, but I just see in this captaincy, in a room of players where you had three or four pretty good options of guys who have been captains, well, more than that, that have yeah. been captains, but could be a captain of this team, that Rasmus Dahlin is, he's the rock now.
Oh, yeah.
Through good times and bad times, that C is going nowhere. It's going to stay on 26, and he's going to honor the city and the organization.
It's
just such the right decision.
I actually said, like when I said I think this is going to be a huge season for Dahlin, somebody on social media said, why? Because he's got the C now? Might as well put C's on everybody. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. Like, the captaincy has nothing to do with me thinking Dahlin's going to have a fantastic year. Mm. I think that with he did 2 years ago and a little bit of a dip in everybody's last year and that chip on his shoulder and that anger and that desire to win and the competitive level that he's got, it's going to be a fantastic year for Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
And to whoever that was that commented on what you had mentioned, Rasmus has, without me being in the room for discussions, right, the team talks, but seeing what we can see, he's already been acting like the captain. He's already been viewed as the captain by the young core coming along
yes.
with him and those that are might be a couple of years behind him, but you know, the Zach Bensons and even Dylan Cousins who could be a captain, and you know, then you look at Alex Tuch who could be a yeah. captain whose name was out there. They're all looking at Rasmus thinking, no, like he's got this.
Yeah.
This guy's he's a bear, he's a tiger, he's a lion, he's everything you want in a competitor, and he's dragging others. So this is the thing I noticed, and I know everyone's talked about this before. But I remember sitting at numerous practices where other players who aren't working as hard at practice as Rasmus was, and Casey Mittelstadt was one, as we all know, they would go at it like
yeah.
crazy. And Rasmus would drag Casey into the fight.
They were best buddies, but he would.
But he would go at him hard.
Yes.
We're talking cross checks, we're talking slashing, we're talking trash talking, everything, just because he knew that he needed to get another level out of Casey. He's doing the same with other guys like Henry and other teammates mm-hmm. too. He's like, Henry, listen, you didn't like the fact he got sat a couple of times last year? Well, then you got to start being a dog a little bit. And
rising tide lifts all boats. And
exactly.
Dahlin is that rising tide
yep.
that is going to bring everybody up. And
yep.
he does that not only being a captain of a team now is a 12-month-a-year job. Like, it's not like hockey season and when the season's over, see you, I'm gone. Summertime, he made sure that he reaches out to everybody. And they mm-hmm. travel to Europe to golf
yeah.
and to get together, to vacation. Like, it's great for Instagram and everything, but it's also great for the team, right?
You know what's really good for the broadcast crew to be invited to Sweden or Switzerland to golf with a captain?
I'd like that.
I'm just going to throw that out
you know
there.
What?
Rasmus,
that's
you know.
Take that. Also, alternate captains.
Yeah.
There was four this year, and I like that there's going to be a rotation, and Lindy Ruff did that when I played here for Lindy. There was a road and a home type of situation. So
tell me why you like that.
I like that because Number one, it allows for what the job of the captains and the alternates, as old as it may be, was always to be a communication way to talk to the referees, right? The referees always look at your sweater. Do you have a letter? No. I want to talk to you,
yeah.
Right? So now that allows for more players to have that relationship with the referees. So let's say they have Wes McCauley in Buffalo one night, and Rasmus is the captain, and Tage and Matthias Samuelsson are the alternate captains. Tage goes up to Wes McCauley. Wes is like, okay, you're an alternate. I'll talk to you. Does that. Next week, they're on the road, and Wes McCauley is reffing the game. No. And now it's Dylan Cousins and Alex Tuck, the alternates. But Tage Thompson wants to go over and mention something to Wes McCauley. He's already built that rapport with the referee.
Right.
He knows, oh, you're an alternate, but tonight you don't have DA, but you're a guy I can talk to. I think I like that for that aspect of things. There's a leadership group in the room. There's more than three, four, five people in that leadership group. No. I could see Jason Zucker being in the leadership group, right? As a guy that's been around, he's not going to wear leather, but he can be in the leadership group. But having that relationship with referees, having that rapport with referees, I think it's good. So I like that. But one thing that I think is interesting, because Sabres and Kevin Adams and Lindelof could have probably named Rasmus Dahlin captain at the start of training camp. They could have named him captain in the offseason, because we all knew that was going to go there.
Yeah.
But I was listening to Brian Burke talking about how they picked Marcus Naslund as the captain in Vancouver after Mark Messier. And he said, we all knew Marcus Naslund was going to be the captain, but we owed it to Matthias Holland and to Brent Sopel and to all of these other leaders to have that discussion internally about those guys.
Right.
Just like I think Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams owed it to Alex Tuck, Tage Thompson, Matthias Samuelsson, and Dylan Cousins to at least sit in a room, not with them, but internally with the coaching staff, hockey operations, and say, hey, what makes Alex Tuck a captain-worthy person? And have that conversation. Even though you know it's going to be Rasmus Dahlin, now you're starting to build the character of your team, your identity of your team, and you're breaking it down. So I feel like those four, Tuck, Samuelsson, Cousins, and Thompson, are great alternate captains. They could have been captains of this team.
Yep. Yep.
And you spend the time to talk about it, but at the end of the day, it was going to be Rasmus Dahlin. So, but a great choice. I mean, it's going to give Dylan Cousins a lot of confidence going into this year after last season, and Tage Thompson the same thing. And Samuelsson, who
yeah,
has
I
been
mean,
hurt,
I,
but he's,
I get
he's
it.
Somebody that's
I get it,
well
but I get it. I would hope that they had that confidence already without, I mean, there's an understanding, as you've already kind of alluded to, players in the room know who are. If you're looking for a leader, there's leaders for different things.
Yep.
For example, and you and Rob might laugh me off the chair, but if you want a leader in that room who's going to, if you're trying to deliver the message, if you're Lindy Ruff, would you go to the front of the net and don't move?
Yeah.
Don't curl away. Stand there. So who's the leader in that message?
Well, it could be Jordan Greenway.
Could be Zach Benson.
Could be Zach Benson.
Guy's 19 years old. Yeah. Just turned 19. You could literally point, hey, watch him on this next shift.
Yeah.
Go do it. He's 19. Go do it. I don't care how old he is. Do that. You're leading by example.
Lindy loves to use video as a good message, and we used to laugh about a lot of different clips.
Yeah.
And you could show Zach Benson taking 18 cross checks in front of the net. Not that it's that game anymore,
yeah.
And show it on the video the next day. And everybody's got to laugh. Look at Benny. He's taking cross checks and cross checks. But you know what that does? Everybody's paying attention.
So last night the last few preseason games that we've been calling with the Rochester American, generally we're calling them Rochester Americans, I guess people are. We're calling them Sabres.
I'm gonna say that because they earned the right to wear the jersey.
I agree 100%.
That's the Buffalo Sabres, but not the regulars. Let's just put it that way.
I like that one. I'm just reading other people writing articles calling them Rochester Americans, but they're Buffalo Sabres. Costa Hellenius, first-year pro in North America, is getting knocked down every single game, every time he tries to enter the zone.
So light, yeah.
But, and we mentioned it last night, he gets right up and he's right back into the play. That's exactly what Zach Benson did, and I think it is. Again, that's a sign of leadership that, look at this guy coming over here. He's the big star. He's getting drafted, and the other team doesn't care.
No.
They're loving to knock this guy on his behind. He gets right back up. Guess what? He's got puck possession on the wall, and he's going to burn you if you take your eyes off him. So, to my point of I understand to your reasoning for the four assistants. I would like to think, first of all, that Wes McCauley would have a
respectful
discussion with any of those four players if they didn't have an A, just based on their games played in the league. And hey, Sammy,
but
or
maybe
hey,
a new,
Tucky.
A young referee who doesn't know them as well. Like Wes knows them, but maybe a young referee who's looking for the letter.
Yeah, well, when the referee gets a letter, as Rob would say, then I'll talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, great segue, because you mentioned last night Konstantelainis and the Sabres played in Ottawa last night.
Yes.
And which was another great showing by pretty much everybody on the roster. Like, it doesn't matter if the first two preseason games were main guys against Pittsburgh and Columbus, who didn't have a lot of their NHL guys. And actually, Gordon Miller on the TSN broadcast mentioned that the Sabres are getting an exemption by the NHL because they can't dress the eight veterans that need to be dressed in preseason games.
Yeah.
So they go out there. Ottawa's got eight veterans, NHL veterans, dressed at the very least.
Name them right now.
For Ottawa?
Last night. Name their eight veterans.
Oh, I don't know.
That's all I'm saying. My point was being, it's not like they didn't ice Tkachuk or Stützle
or
Sanderson.
They did have Allmark and Tokarski, so would probably count.
I'm not taking anything away from the Sabres' effort. I'm just saying, yes, they're getting an exemption, but many teams are playing still most of their American League prospects.
Like, we haven't seen Crosby and Malkin play.
That's what I'm trying to say.
We haven't seen Matthews because he's hurt, and we saw Nylander last night. We'll talk about that in a little bit later in the show. He got hurt last night.
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah, so we'll show it later in the show. But what I was impressed, once again, is the hard work. The hard work and the relentless not giving up that the Sabres had last night. At one point early in the second period, the shots were 29-6 for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
Linus Ullmark stopped 28 of 29 or 29 out of 30, gave up one goal. Felix Sandstrom was good in net. Ottawa took a 2-1 lead with, you know, just in the third period.
That was a power play goal, right?
That was a power play goal. Yeah, Gaudette off the side. Puck kind of went off Boucher in the slot.
I remember that. I said, I'm glad I remember that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Good. You were there.
Just kind of woke up.
I was actually watching it on TV, and then I had the radio up for you and Dan, which was good.
Yeah,
Rob.
You don't have to say that, but
I did. I was listening.
We like to encourage that.
You guys were great. But what I love is that, okay, let's pull the goalie down 2-1.
Yeah.
They got a face-off in the offensive zone. They had a set play. They executed the set play. And Isaac Roseanne, what a laser. You know what's funny is that probably would not have been him in that situation. Like in Rochester last year, that would have been Yuri Kulik, right? Being in that situation with the one-timer. And instead, Roseanne puts himself into that one-timer's, you know, right flank. Yeah. And that was a laser that beat Tkachuk to tie it at 2. That was impressive the way that all worked out.
All right, so we just ran the replay running it again. Check who's at the faceoff dot.
Yeah.
Mason Yops,
yes. Who was helping on the faceoff dot was Brett Murray. Came into help.
I was going to say, I haven't looked at the numbers on what his faceoff numbers were, but every time I've sensed that this is a draw. You want to win every draw, but this is a draw you want to win. I look down, I see Mason at the dot, and the guy is in there, and he's, I don't want to say he's winning all of them, but that was a big one for him to win, again, without having the stats in the back of my mind.
Let me see if you're right. I just pulled it up.
I don't know what percentage he was, but he won a big one there. I noticed it when he took the face off.
Hey, he was 63%, 10-6, so you were right.
I was seeing
it. That's good. NHL 63% is like, you'd be number one in the league.
High school average, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So he was digging, a bit better than that. He was digging in on every draw. Now, this guy is a tough one to beat at the circle. His hand's low on the stick. He's getting his leverage in certain ways. So, to me, that was the moment where as soon as they won the draw, I thought, oh, they got a chance here. Because it was such a clean start possession. I know there are folks out there that don't care about who wins a faceoff. That was a must-win in that moment for Buffalo.
I'm not huge on winning the faceoffs when it's a center ice faceoff. Faceoffs only matter when they matter. That was a faceoff that mattered.
Well, if it's
right?
a center ice faceoff and you need a goal and there's 30 seconds left and your goalie's about to get pulled and you need possession to get the goalie off the ice, it's pretty important.
No, it's important. There's faceoffs that matter. Yeah. And then there's also, if you lose a draw, what do you do?
The one to start the game, I'll give you.
You know
just
what,
drop the
what
puck
faceoff
and run
matters?
Away.
Faceoff in overtime. First faceoff, get possession.
100%.
Now, you know, it doesn't matter what happened on that first faceoff because there was a couple chances go one way. Sabres got the puck. Yeah. And maybe we buried the lead. And, you know, like Rasmus Dahlin being the captain is a huge lead. But Noah Osland going in, toe-dragging around a poke-checking Tokarski and putting the back end in, like that was a highlight reel goal. It was impressive. And the Sabres win 3-2. And that individual effort by Osland was just one of those that we know he's got high talent, a great pedigree. Him and Wahlberg and Hellenius.
I said last night that was Tage Thompson hands in his feet.
Yes,
and still found a way to flick.
Not quite the same reach.
No, but the way he put it in his feet, right? He pulls the puck to his skates, as Rob was describing it last night, and then to the backhand to flick it in here. So it was just a great goal. Defender trying to reach in. Good luck.
Yeah, and you know that it's man on man. So everybody, like Nurchev, got out of the way, went behind the net, took his man with him. Yeah. That opened the door for Osland to come in, right? So to me, it was, again, individuals that are getting the opportunity right now to play in preseasons. Who knows if they would get all this ice time and all these opportunities? There's still two more preseason games for those guys tomorrow night and Monday night when Detroit comes into Buffalo. So I think this is why it's been even more fun this year with the different dynamic with half the team, the full team in Germany now, and then the rest of the guys here back in Buffalo. That was last night. Dan was in Ottawa with Rob Ray. He's here in studio today on Sabres Live, and will be in studio as well later as we will be calling the game in Germany against Red Bull from this location. Me, you, and Rob Ray, we're going to have a 2.5 hour fun time and just chit-chatting, intermission, and all.
We are going to have fun. And anyone of German heritage who is just be gentle with us with our name pronunciations. We've listened to every player say their name, especially those that are, you know, from Munich or from Germany.
Tobias Reeder. I know that one.
That's the one we're hoping Tobias has the puck for 80% of the game.
Exactly. And then, but we'll have the game at 2:30 here on MSG and on 1520 The Bet. We will take a quick break. And when we return, I don't know if it's Lederhosen, how you say it.
Lederhosen.
Okay, Lederhosen. Thank you, Dan. Already my German is rusty. But if you don't know what Lederhosen are, tune in to MSG because you will have a pretty big surprise when we return here on Sabres Live on MSG and WGR 550.
Is Razor walking in on that?
Yeah, wait till we see it. We'll have a big surprise. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live, and this is Sabres arrival. Kind of disappointed that Lindy Ruff did not dress like the players, but look at that on MSG right now. Beautiful Lederhosen, sported by the Buffalo Sabres, the knee-high socks, the shorts, the suspenders, an ode to maybe the great RJ. RJ would have loved that. Suspenders from everybody. The hats with the little feather on the side. Jack Quinn walking in and Peyton Krebs and the boys. I say some of them can really pull it well, Dan. Some of them are a little bit uncomfortable.
They're not sure,
Like the tall guys, like we just saw Matthias Samuelsson, Alex Tuck, and Tage Thompson. It looks a little odd.
Yeah, but I think Samuelsson's got like, whatever, I'll wear it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so cool.
Jordan Greenway is walking out very slowly. Like, he has a big bottle of water coming in. I almost feel like the play there would have been everybody walking in with a big stein.
Yeah.
A big, huge stein. You don't have to, it's you don't see in, right? Unless it's one of those glass big mug.
Yeah.
But the steins are usually like, you know, like big and you don't see through. You don't know if they have anything in there. But just the fact that you would think they're walking in, really enjoying Oktoberfest with
Let's hope they weren't out at Oktoberfest last night.
That
and just
be
didn't
tomorrow.
Change coming to work.
Tomorrow will be when they can enjoy it. They're staying one more day in Germany,
right,
and then before going over to Prague. And then they'll have the whole week to practice, get ready for the New Jersey Devils. But I feel like this is the fun experience. When I went to Europe with the Rangers, our four preseason games, we played Prague, Bratislava, Zug in Switzerland, and Frölunda, which was Henrik Lundqvist, pro team, Rasmus Dahlin's pro team.
Yeah.
That was a fun trip. That was the experience. And then it's like we went to Stockholm, and then that was business. And obviously the Sabres are in camp and they are taking care of business, but you also have to enjoy it. So they've been going really hard at practice and trying to adjust to the time. That's a big difference too. 6 hours different. Yeah. Tonight's game in Germany, in Munich, is at 8:30. We have it at 2:30 p.m. here, but it's an 8:30 game. It's a late game. It's the adjustment of the time and, you know, being able to get your sleep. So I think the sports science group and the coaching staff is all doing whatever they can. But what do you expect in this game this afternoon? I know it's going to be cool. The German fan fest and the drums and everything is going to be fun. But you know, other than the experience, what do you expect?
I think the experience, listen, sports is about the experience for the fans, for the players too. I mean, there's a fan in every single one of these guys, without being too hokey about it. But I've talked to a number of players who have been, and I know you know a number of players who have gone to Germany to play in their career, whether it's their NHL days are over or they just don't want to play in North America. They want to live a different lifestyle. And Germany is the place to go for exactly what we're going to see today, which is the atmosphere and the fans. And every single player raves about the passion of the fans in Germany for hockey over there. We're going to see it. We're going to hear it on the broadcast, hopefully. It's just out of this world. And what I'm really looking forward to from a hockey perspective for this group of Buffalo Sabres is dealing with the larger ice surface.
Well, I don't know if it's larger over
there. I read that it was.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, I read that
because I know a lot of the newer rinks in Europe are going smaller because they like the NHL size.
And they want to draw the NHL over there.
But when the Sabres play New Jersey in Prague, it will be on NHL ice.
Yes, but because this is a friendly and it's in Germany, my understanding of what I've read is this will be...
It does look bigger as we can see it on... Yes, absolutely.
So it is larger. That's a big ice surface.
That's a big ice surface.
So, you know,
so the difference is usually it's 85 by 200, right? International Olympic ice is 100 by 200. So people are going to say it's the same length, but it's 15 feet wider. So 7.5 feet on each side. Yep. It's a big difference, people. The
Which
angles are
coaches,
different. The systems are different. Everything's
coaches
different.
Coaches always talk, when we would go over with, when I was doing my World Junior Championship run for about 10 years or so, and we'd go to Europe, the teams from North America, I was with Team Canada, but even USA Hockey would talk about playing between the dots. Don't get drawn outside the dots because there's nothing there, really.
The same distance. The dots are in the same distance as the NHL rink. It's just everything on the outside.
And Lindy has already referenced that, you know, listen, the quickest way we can teach the guys who haven't played this that much. Now, most of them, I would say, probably have at some point. They've been in international competition, world championships, so they've been on these sheets of ice before. But as a group, as a team of one doing it together, they haven't before. Because we went to Sweden, to your point, a few years ago. That was an NHL ice surface at the rink there.
I got lit up.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
I've told this story many times here on Sabres Live, but I got lit up with the New York Rangers playing in Zug. That's in Switzerland. It was a big ice. Mm-hmm. And I had never really played on a big ice ever, right? Other than the few times we practiced at the Northtown Center on the Olympic sheet, like I've never played on big ice. When I went to the World Juniors, I played 8 seconds, didn't play. Now I went to the World Championship, I didn't play. I was the third goalie. So I went to Zug, we lost 9-6. There was times, Dan, where I looked back thinking my net should be behind me.
Right.
It was 5 feet over to the right. Like the angles are different.
That's how the rest of us play a goal, not you.
Exactly, but because it's so wide, you feel like you're getting drawn out. You're feeling like you're off to your side a little bit. So it'll be interesting if Luukkonen, who obviously has had the experience of the big ice, how he's going to do, because I anticipate Luukkonen to get this game today and getting ready for next week. Levi did good, but Luukkonen had, you know, his game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, he gave up three. So
let me ask you the question from someone who's never played the position then, and this might be anyone who's played, they're going to say, why are you asking this question? But here we go, because many of us haven't. In this situation, even for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, he's accustomed to the width of generally to the North American ice surface, and he's preparing for that for just a few days down the road. But mentally, when he gets into this position, so he doesn't have the situation you had where you turn around in the net, oh, it's over there.
It's not where
Is your focal point in front of you to let you know that you are in front of it? Because I'm thinking It's almost like
it's not in front of you, it's behind you. And a lot of the European goalies, when they first got to the NHL in the 80s and 90s, the one common denominator was they played deep in their crease because they didn't want to get
there.
Right? And, but the NHL goalies in the 80s and 90s were challenge, cut the angle, challenge. That was the overset example of cut the angle and challenge. Mm-hmm. Now that the game is so fast and very much east-west as opposed to north-south, goalies stay deeper. But that's not how I played. I played the top of my crease.
So you'll be using the edge. He'll be using the edge of the blue paint.
The blue paint and your net behind you. You tap your post. You tap your net because you don't want to get lost out. Because if you're out a little farther, you will get drawn out.
So that's in fitting with Oktoberfest in a keg, he'll be tapping a little
tapping the post.
Just to remind himself, I'm good.
Yeah, you need to know where you are. You need to stay in the blue paint. That's what.
Because I actually want to see the highlight where the goalie, like yourself, is 5 feet nowhere near the net and thinks he's
Remember
there.
Remember Josh Holden?
I want to see that.
Remember Josh Holden?
Yes.
Josh Holden played in the NHL a little bit. He was with Zug in Switzerland.
Yeah.
He had a hat trick. I think he had 6 points. They thought he was going to get an NHL contract and be first line center somewhere out of that game because he like lit us up. But I was terrible. We were all terrible on the big ice. But okay, so they play Red Bull 2:30 here on MSG and the bet 15:20, I should say. Luukkonen, I anticipate him to go. I think we will see the main lineup, right? Like that's their last preseason game. So
I would guess,
main lineup. We haven't seen them all together because the one game there was no McLeod Greenway and there was no Zucker. The next game tucked in partake. There was some changes to the lineup. So
a lot of times too, you'll hear talk about, hey, this could be a dangerous game because the other team is out to prove something. They're playing an NHL side. They're in front of their home fans. Just going down the Red Bull roster today, getting back from Ottawa late last night, and looking at the age of a lot of these players, you got a couple of 21-year-olds, but a lot of these guys are in their 30s.
Yeah.
So it's not as if they're going to come out and say, hey, I should still be back in the NHL. They're happy. They're on probably one of the best teams in the German league anyway, and they've won championships a number of times. A lot of guys have been there for 8, 7, 6 years, so this is their club.
Their coach played for Red Bull, actually.
Right.
I talked to my buddy David Leggio. We played 3 years there, won 3 German championships with Red Bull, and wanted to keep going, but they wanted to bring in some new people, he played with that head coach. And I asked him, is Red Bull the premier organization in Germany? Right. And he said, well, they're one of them. Mannheim is also a really big. Jochen Hetsch. Played Yo-Yo. I'll just call him Yo-Yo. He played at Mannheim. Yeah. And they used to have an open rink. It was like kind of like the new Bills Stadium, the new Highmark Stadium, where it was kind of covered, but there was a little opening in the middle. And then they built a brand new rink a few years back. But Yo-Yo used to tell us how unique Mannheim was and how great it was. But Red Bull has been the top organization. And the rink that you're going to see today is a state-of-the-art 10,000 seat rink.
Yeah, and branding's a big thing, right? I mean,
Red Bull.
We're talking F1. We're talking soccer. We're talking they're in everything.
Yes.
So that brand is everything. So
I'm
looking forward to it. But I that's why I think, I think we'll see as close to even the opening night lineup for the Sabres because I don't know – I don't think there's the fear there of something's going to go terribly wrong. If we got to be careful, this guy. If it was, then, obviously everyone's wondering if Dahlin plays. That'll be the big one. We'll watch warm-ups and see what happens there.
You know what? What Lindy said a couple of days ago, he said Dahlin is going to go full today, full tomorrow, and if everything's good, he's playing, Friday. I would think Dahlin's going to play. Which is interesting is who does he play with?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the start of training camp, it was penciled in Dahlin Power, Byram Yokiaru, Samuelson Clifton.
Yeah.
But without Dahlin for the first 2 preseason games, they've adjusted and they put Byram with Power, and they've looked good. So now is Dahlin playing with Yokiaru because of a little shift on the fly? Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes sense to me. I don't know what
I had Dahlin Yokiaru as my top pair anyway this summer, but right. you know, you got to adjust a little bit on the fly, so that will be interesting
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and we talked earlier, if anyone's just joining us, that Henry is one of those players that Rasmus has challenged
yep.
to, listen, you do have another level to your game. Stop sulking, if that's what we want to call it, because you got sat down, let's go to work. And the go to work has been in practice. So, and I think Henry, probably if we sat down and talked to him, would say, that was exactly what I needed, because he is a confident guy.
Very confident. He's got hot 10. Takes too.
Number 10 is a confident
guy. I want Henry's hot takes to come back to social media this year, because those were fantastic and I think people loved it. It gave a look into how Jokic Arjo's personality.
Part of our broadcast.
We should have
Henry's
him,
like, hot takes.
Hot takes, yeah. We should do that. This
on
or
the
that,
black and red
takes,
nights or
whatever.
Something, we'll have a hot take, because it's, you know, the black and red's a hot
That
take.
Would definitely be good. Yeah. We're going to take a short break here before we have a little bit of a last segment. Look around the NHL. There was preseason games yesterday. There was injuries again. We saw, obviously, a ton of injuries two nights ago. Doughty went down. There were some injuries in the NHL again last night.
What do you think of the Ducks' new orange or back to orange?
Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about that. The Ducks back to orange and the Ducks logo. We'll be right back here on Sabres Live. Dan Dunleavy, Marty Biron on MSG and WGR 550.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. JJ Paterka, the Munich boy, has got his own lederhosen, and the Sabres all surprised him by wearing their, like, it feels like JJ, that's his own, that he's had for a while.
I think he owns that. Yeah.
And the rest of the boys rented, like a rented tux, right, for the event
sure.
kind of
yeah.
situation.
Yeah,
so,
hopefully.
But a great idea anyway. Remember when they did the semi-pro, the Flint Tropics at the the game in Canada in Hamilton against the Leafs? Like, that was awesome, too. Yep. So, anyway. But, listen, it's a big day.
Personality.
Sabres are playing in Germany, 2:30 on MSG and on the Bet 1520. Dan Razor and I are going to be talking for 2.5 hours. It's going to be fun, but
Razor's going to go home and let the dogs out for me.
The guy next to me, Dan Dunleavy, has a birthday today. He's 29 years old, Dan. Happy birthday.
27.
The balloons.
27, thank
27.
You.
27, okay. Wow, just wanted to make sure.
That's
sorry,
a lot more
I made
balloons
you a little
than 27.
Older. But Dan Dunleavy's birthday nice. Today, so nice. You know, happy birthday, Dan.
Is this an era where kids, that's all the balloons they get? They don't actually get real balloons. They just...
You know what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring a cake.
They get sent balloons on their phone and that's it.
Hey, you got double balloons. That's even better. That's like a text, right?
Yeah,
so,
no, I
there
want
you go.
Cake today at some point.
I want... Maybe I'll have to go run and get a cake in between this and the game.
Lots of icing on it.
Around the NHL, we saw Drew Doughty's injury 2 days ago. We talked to Darren Dreger yesterday. It looks like he may have a fractured ankle, so we'll see what happens there. William Nylander out of the game yesterday against the Montreal Canadiens. A bit of
yet.
A friendly fire. So he's in the back check, and Nick Robertson gives him the old push, right, when you're trying to help your teammate in the back check. So Robertson's with the Leafs. He pushed Nylander forward. It got Nylander off balance, he goes down and gets a knee to the head, exited the game with what looks like an upper body injury.
You could say concussion, maybe.
It could be a headache or whatever. Maybe it was precautionary, but this is not a good thing. Like we talked about Ryan Lindgren getting hurt in a fight against the Islanders the other night for the New York Rangers. John Gibson is out with appendix surgery.
He's none of these. Nylander's a fantastic player, right?
Yes.
Let's just agree on that. But you imagine someone shoving Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky or Paul Coffey, and you're the guy who's just trying to be an everyday guy in the lineup. You're going, hey, Paul, a little help. And you're like, well, what are you doing?
The thing with Robertson is that he signed his contract late this summer.
Yeah.
They don't know if they have room on the roster for him. So now he's helping Nylander with a little push. He took out
he's
Nylander.
Trying to make room?
He's trying to make room. He's basically saying, you know, I know I can't hurt you, but no, he didn't do that.
I know.
A
no,
lot
I...
of guys do that little push. I hate it, by the way, because I think players, if they don't expect it, it slows them down.
You just saw what happens.
I think Nylander's trying to back check because Craig Berube, just like Lindyroff, is like put his fist down and saying, you guys better work hard, better back check, better do all of it. So Nylander's trying to back check, and he gets hurt for back checking. He's never back checking again.
I'm pretty sure Coach Berube's never actually had a practice where they've practiced doing that to each other.
No, so that's not in the game plan.
In a game.
That is not in the game plan, for sure not. Anything else that caught your fancy? The Tampa Bay Lightning won 8-7 two nights ago against the Florida Panthers in a preseason game. So we think we got some high-scoring games with the Sabres. 8-7 is a pretty wild affair in preseason.
No, you know what? I got 30 seconds. We've been pretty focused, Rob and I, on the prospect Sabres, the Buffalo Sabres on the road, and they still have a couple games left. Columbus tomorrow.
In Columbus.
And then back home against Detroit on Monday. So it's been busy, but I think, you know, Razor sitting with it. I think we're both impressed with how hard these guys are working.
Yeah.
And last night might not have been the prettiest of games at times, but they were dominant for most of the game, and then they found a way to win. So,
well, we'll be right back here at 2:30 on MSG and on the Bet 1520 Sabres Red Bull Munich. We'll see you then.